Is it possible that after 12 years of negotiation that a new global trade deal could be announced this weekend?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with a global perspective on business and economics. A dozen long years ago, kicking off in the city of Doha in Qatar, negotiations began to further liberalize trade rules. On Monday, or even as early as this Sunday, the World Trade Organization could announce a Doha deal. The agenda isn't as ambitious as it was in the beginning. Doha Light, some are calling it. Sean Donnan is covering this for the Financial Times. Mr. Donnan, good morning.
Good morning.
So these folks have been working on this seemingly forever. What will they say they achieved? What is in Doha Light?
So the big effort to push through something that in WTO jargon is called trade facilitation. That's a really awful name for something that's quite simple. It's reducing red tape at borders around the world. That's a big deal for business around the world. There's people out there who are saying this could add as much as $1 trillion in trade to the global economy.
What was left off the table? What's one example of something that comes to mind when they made this LITE light?
They weren't having really a bigger discussion about the world of agriculture. And that is, in the past, what has really hung things up. The developing world hates the way the Europeans and the Americans subsidize farmers and really protect the farming sectors. And also, from their perspective, keep their markets closed to the outside world and really want to open that up.
Sean Donnan at the Financial Times, thank you very much.
David, thank you.
Now let's check the numbers. For the very first time, the Dow will begin trading today above 16,000. 16,009 if you're counting, and the Dow future at the moment is up slightly. So is the Nasdaq, although the S&P future is unchanged at the moment. The FT 100 in London is down 0.2%. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong closed down just slightly. Transition to college is tough, especially for veterans going to college on the post-9/11 GI Bill. A new report today has some recommendations to ease that transition, Marketplace's David Gura reports.
Zach Zimmerman was a Marine Corps infantryman. He served in Iraq and Afghanistan. Now he's a senior at Georgetown. And Zimmerman has some advice for colleges that want veterans to become successful students.
I think making sure that you have remedial courses in place, small classroom settings, and academic counselors to put a plan together.
That's important because the new GI Bill, which has paid out more than $36 billion in benefits, doesn't last forever. You only get enough money for 4 years of study.
Having a distinct degree plan is vital.
Wendy Lang is with Operation College Promise. She co-authored the report and works with schools on plans to integrate veterans.
They don't need to be complicated and they don't need to be expensive.
A student group can be really effective, she says. Veterans will mentor each other.
And really help each other out in a manner that they wouldn't ask for help with college administrators.
There's one such group at Georgetown, and Zach Zimmerman is its vice president. I'm David Gura for Marketplace.
Seven new buildings are going up in New York's Midtown Manhattan. They're all luxury towers, many just a couple of blocks from Central Park. That has some residents concerned about what the buildings will do to open space and light in the park. Sally Herships reports from Central Park adjacent.
Right now, this stretch of 58th Street looks like it's missing a tooth. But when construction is over, the new building here will be taller than the Empire State Building.
Right now, we see a lot of light and a lot of sky. In 5 years, this is gone. This is gone.
Leila Lukisiko is with Manhattan Community Board 5. She says the community wasn't able to review the plans for the new building. She only knows it will be tall. The nonprofit Environmental Simulation Center says the building's shadows will reach a half a mile away, as far as the ice skating rink in Central Park. And in cold weather, they will linger.
Is light and air a public resource? Or is it to be used by one single developer?
The answer is yes. As long as the developer owns what are called the air rights, there doesn't have to be a public review process. And the rights to build in the space above a building can be worth millions.
New York is a city, and it goes vertical.
Bob Shapiro is an air rights broker. We're in his penthouse office. A penthouse in one of the new towers back at 57th Street recently sold for more than $90 million. But Shapiro says, while that's a windfall for the developer, it's also good business for the city.
Usually, for every one square foot you build, the city gets $15 a foot in taxes.
Josiah Madar is with the Furman Center for Real Estate and Urban Policy at NYU. He says residents may not want tall buildings in their neighborhoods, but that can make housing in their neighborhoods more expensive. If it's hard to build new housing, as the population grows, so does the price for apartments. Oftentimes, he says, there's only one way to build, and that's up.
And that is a tough trade-off between quality of life and new buildings, but it's really the only way out.
But Madar says it's unlikely these new luxury buildings will provide options for affordable housing. In New York, I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
And someone in our editorial meeting pitched the story of Red Sox players selling their beard trimmings for charity, but I think it's a little early in the morning for that. So instead, I'll mention a new report from Michigan State suggesting that hiring for graduates with masters in business administration is expected to be down 25% this academic year, down 60% for MBAs who want to go into finance or insurance. Overall, the recruiting trend report finds that there are 3% more jobs for college graduates from all majors. Computer science, PR, accounting are especially good ones, though. And can you believe it? Hiring for PhDs is looking up. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.